The reading for this Sunday is from Isaiah 49:1-7. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel. To him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from 1 Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and to our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. John. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks.
Thanks be to God. It had to be at least 40 days. At least 40 days after Jesus had been baptized, that what we heard in the gospel took place. The gospel of Mark tells us that after Jesus was baptized by John, Jesus came up out of the water, God the Father was heard to speak from heaven, and the Spirit of God alighted on Jesus in the form of a dove. All that we heard in last Sunday's gospel. And then Mark tells us that the Spirit of God immediately led Jesus out into the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days and was then tempted by the devil. Having successfully dealt with those temptations, Jesus is now back in circulation. And John sees him walking nearby and says something of significance. He says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Why is this something of significance? Because John knew that Jesus was the Messiah. God had revealed that to him. God had told him, "The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." And then John says, "I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." Yes, John knew that Jesus was the chosen one, the one whose way John was sent to prepare by doing his preaching and calling people to a baptism of repentance. And now John refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God. In fact, the very next day, John says the same thing. In verses 35 to 37, it says, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. The Lamb of God. Why the Lamb of God? Why that phrase? And I'm sure many of you know the answer to that. Almost 1,500 years earlier, when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, God raised up Moses to be an early prototype of the Messiah. Moses would be the one God would use to deliver his people from their 400 years of bondage to the pharaohs of Egypt. Most of you are acquainted with the 10 plagues. Well, not personally acquainted, I hope. But you've heard about them, you've read about them, you've heard teachings on them, perhaps, the 10 plagues that God sent upon the land of Egypt. The plagues were designed to influence the Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. There was the plague of blood, the plague of frogs, the plague of flies, the plague of gnats, then on livestock, then boils, then the plagues of hail, locusts, darkness, and finally, the plague on the firstborn males of both man and cattle. On the night of the last plague, the Lord passed over the land, and in fact, the judgment of God fell on the Egyptians. But no death came to the households of the Israelites. You see, God had given instruction to Moses, which he passed on to the people of Israel. Each household was to take an unblemished lamb, one without any kind of perceivable defect of any kind, and they were to slaughter it at twilight. They were to roast it over fire, and when it was cooked, it was to be eaten in its entirety along with certain bitter herbs. But perhaps the most important part was that they were to take the blood of the lamb and paint the doorposts and the header of the entry to their homes. Then, when the Lord came that night at about midnight, he would see the blood on those doorways and he would pass over that house, not bringing death to any firstborn male. And as God had foretold Moses, after this last plague, in which Pharaoh's son too had died, the Pharaoh allowed the Israelites to leave. The lamb and the blood of the lamb were key to saving the Israelites. every year following. Every year following that event, so long as the Israelites were able to live in their land, the event was commemorated by a festival known as Passover. You've all heard the word. It's called Passover because on that fateful night, when the Lord went over the land of Egypt, He passed over every Israelite household where He saw blood on the doorposts and the lintel or the header, not bringing the judgment. The lambs and their blood made the difference between life and death. Now, John the Baptist, sees this man on whom he saw the Spirit of God alight and proclaims, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We don't necessarily know if John was aware that Jesus would die one day, have his own blood shed on a Roman cross. But what he did know was that Jesus was the Lamb, the true Lamb of God, the one that all the other lambs in all the thousands and thousands and thousands of lambs throughout Israel's history, the one whom all those lambs foreshadowed. Yes, through the shed blood of Jesus, the sins of everyone who holds faith in Him are forgiven. When we, by faith, have the blood of Jesus covering us, we too are passed over. God will not bring judgment on us. He will not bring it because of the shed blood of His Son, the true Lamb of God. Understand something. When you and I come and receive communion, we are receiving, by the gift of Jesus, His very body and blood. I understand. It looks like wine. It tastes like wine. It looks somewhat like unleavened piece of bread. But Jesus said this, "Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." Just like the Israelites were consuming the body of the Lamb when they were hunkered down in their humble homes with the blood of the Lamb on the doorway, even so, we too receive the body and blood of Christ. We receive the Spirit, this spiritual food for the forgiveness of sins, for the strengthening of our faith, and for protection from the judgment of God. For the truth is, we all deserve God's judgment. I fully realize most of us can fairly easily justify our own sin in our own eyes by looking around and finding someone incredibly more sinful than we are. But the truth is, and it's a timeless truth of God, we all sin far more often than we think we do. And Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death. Eternal death in hell. And again, we can easily deceive ourselves and tell ourselves that by comparison to those other people, we don't deserve hell. Not when there are those other people who are a heck of a lot worse than I am. Yes, well, that sounds reasonable to you and to fellow sinners who are believers in Jesus. All of us can probably find people who we believe to be significantly more sinful than we. But then there's what God thinks and says about it all. It doesn't matter so much what we think about it, right? It's what God says about it. He says in Scripture, here's just two two scripture verses, and there's a lot of places where these same truths are expressed. Proverbs chapter 10 says, the wages of the righteous is life, but the earnings of the wicked are sin and death. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, God is holy and He is righteous. He therefore cannot simply abide sin. He can't simply sweep it under the rug. It must be dealt with justly. And that's exactly why He sent His Son into the world, so that He, as a sinless human, could become the substitute for us. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, God was pouring onto Jesus all of His just and righteous wrath for all the sins of everyone in the world. And we, and everyone who has received faith in Jesus, are the recipients of that grace. And this is why it's absolutely critical that everyone we know hear the message about what Jesus has done for them and what He offers to them through His death and resurrection. But no doubt you've noticed that our graphic of the day has not only a lamb, but also a lion. In this world, the fallen world that it is, Christians down through the centuries have been persecuted. There have been millions and millions of Christians who have even lost their lives for the simple fact that they had faith in Jesus Christ. The New Testament even tells us that it will happen. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, and he says, for your sake, for God's sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That's what the world looks upon Christians as. We know that in today's world, that among the radical Islamic terrorists, they look at us as sheep to be slaughtered, unless we convert to Islam. Even all of the apostles, despite being apostles, except for John, all of them met with the martyr's death because of their faith in Jesus. But don't ever forget the lion. Don't forget the lion. One day, Jesus will return as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when He does, He shall return as the conquering King. He will bring judgment on all those who have rejected Him, both among the human sons of God and also the rebellious spirit sons of God. And the Lion will then be seen, the Lamb will then be seen as the Lion, the King, the powerful one, the all-powerful one. My friends, we have a loving God and a powerful God. He both serves the creation He loves and He rules the creation He loves. Let us, His people, rejoice in both the Lion and the Lamb. Let us be ever so glad for His gift of faith in our lives. Let us be grateful for the people who brought us to Jesus. Where would we be without their care and love for us, which moved them to share Jesus with us? Let us be glad. Let us be grateful. Let us be overjoyed. Let us be humbled. And let us be confident confident in the one who has and will continue to preserve us right into the wonder of heaven. Amen.